Awesome. Thanks, Barry. Like he was saying, we are going through our values as a church. It's a list of things over there, and if you haven't been able to check it out, you can go there, or it's on our website, crvineyard.ca. But Barry gave the first three messages in that, and there are three great values, and it's really how we do things at our church, why we do things at our church, and what makes our church a little bit different than other churches. Now, other churches probably believe in lots of the same things, but it might not be one of their top priorities in why they're shaping all their events, all their activities. So he went over passion for God, authenticity in all we do, and worship God in all of life, I think, are the three things that he said. So if you haven't listened to them, if you missed them, they are available online, so I'd encourage you to do them. He did a great job in those, so I'd really encourage you, if you're part of our church, or even if you're a guest and you want to figure out what's going on, to go on our website, crvineyard.ca, and just click on sermons. So today, but I get to talk about another one. Now, this one's a little bit farther down in the list, but that's all right, because I think it's something that we have for you guys today that everybody here can really get a piece of it, whether you're a church member for here for a long time, whether you're just new here, whether you're a guest, whoever you are, I think there's something here. But before I actually want to start talking, I got an opportunity to sit down and ask Mike Blanchard, who I think is up looking at kids in the up there, but he was just talking about what community group means to you. For those of you that don't know or might not be from our church, community groups, we just meet once a week with a few people. I think they range from about 5 or 6 to 15 people in a group, and we talk about our lives, we help each other out, we build relationships, and we also try to encourage each other, pray for one another, and do those kinds of things because life is better in a community, and that's how we grow. So he didn't know what I was talking about today. I didn't tell him what to talk about. I just basically asked him 2 questions, and he gave answers that fit really well into my message today. So before I go any farther, I'd just like to show that video.
What has community group meant to you in the last couple months?
Community group to me has been an answer to prayer. I've been asking God how I can be more part of his body, how I can become a body member that touches other people's lives, and how the body can touch my life so that I can figure out what God's purpose is for me and our body. My past has been more of a lone wolf type approach in my walk with God, and he's showing me that's not really our calling, that we are to be a body. And to me, community group is just another translation of body of Christ.
Is there anything specific that you can think of right now that community group has done for you in the last couple months?
Community groups inspired me. We've gone over various types of material and testimonies and prayer conversations that have inspired me to hold each other up and be held up by each other and experiment and explore what God's calling is to us as a body and as individuals. We're making some food for the soup kitchens now and stuff like that, and we're just shooting in the dark. We're trying to figure out ways we can bring people in our community closer to God, or how we can bring ourselves closer to our community in God. And so far, community groups bought that, and I think that's pretty cool.
Cool. That sounds great. Thanks so much.
Sorry about the off video and audio in that. It wasn't doing that before, but hopefully you got the point of it and talking about how being part of a community can really help build each other up. It can build you up and can help you do some great things like bringing food to other people and things like that. So today I'm talking about getting in those communities, and I've been in some pretty good communities, some really good teams in my life, but I've also been a part of some bad ones. I had one job for a couple summers where I was a swamper. So I worked for a moving company, and I'd pack up boxes, I'd load them into a truck, and I'd take them out and unpack them into a different house. In these communities, in this job, there were some really good teams and some really bad teams. So the good teams, you'd have a leader who'd come and they'd have a goal and they'd say, okay, this is everybody's job, this is what's going to happen, and these are your responsibilities. And everybody'd go there, they'd work hard to get it done, all doing our jobs. We get it done quicker, we get it done so we had an enjoyable experience. But there was also some bad teams in that job. There is the teams where there'd be a leader who might not be as confident or might not just make a goal for the team and tell people their tasks and just kind of, we'll see how it happens. Or maybe all the guys are kind of just looking out for themselves. Maybe they'd go and try to just find the light boxes instead of whichever box they see. That gets pretty frustrating when you're a mover and you're carrying all the boxes of books. Or there's other times where it would be guys would just be there and all they wanted was their hours. So they weren't working hard. They are kind of going at whatever pace they wanted. And, you know, I wanted to work hard. I wanted to get home. Because in this job, if you work slower, it just meant you had to stay longer. So these guys would just be there for their hours and not helping out the community, not helping these things. And these times really frustrated me and made me want to quit. And then there's the other times with the really good teams that kept me going. They gave me life. They made me enjoy this difficult job. And usually those good jobs, even you got better tips on those times. So that was always a nice perk. I'm sure in your life you've had some times where you've been on some great teams. Maybe you had a good leader who gave everybody jobs and specific things to do, and it just worked like a well-oiled machine. But you've probably been on some bad teams too. Maybe it's your job, maybe it's a group of friends, maybe it's even a church that you've been a part of, hopefully not this one. And we've had these teams that everybody maybe just working for themselves. Or maybe everybody's just being selfish and not actually helping each other out. And you're doing all the work. Or you're doing something you really don't enjoy and you just wish somebody else would take it from you. Or you're doing a meaningless job. We've all had these teams. We've all had these things in our life. And today I get to talk about our value of releasing, encouraging, honoring people, and using their gifting to achieve what God has planned for them. So that's long. It's really good. I like how it's worded. But I'm going to simplify it so I don't have to say that long phrase over and over and over again. I'm going to say, do what you were made to do. Because that's what it's talking about. Because I believe that you were made for a purpose. In this world, you have certain gifts, you have certain abilities, you're in certain places that only you can do. So today, I'll probably be talking specifically about churches. So if you're not a part of this church, this message is actually still great for you, though. Because this message applies with your friends, it applies with your work, it applies with your family. Any area of life where you're dealing with people, this has a application to you. So if I say church, and you're maybe not part of a church, I'd encourage you to. But if not, it still affects your life. So to do this, to do what you're made to do, there's two parts. You need an opportunity, and you need people to actually offer to be involved. Maybe that's you, maybe that's somebody else. So hopefully our church is built around encouraging people to do that. That's why we have this value. That's why Barry is very open to saying, people coming and saying, I want to do this. And he'd go, great, just go for it kind of thing. There'd be a little bit more wisdom in it than that, but he's someone who one of his strengths is to help people actually do this. And the next part is to get involved and to actually do what you were made to do. So I actually want to go back and talk about a guy named Adam Smith. Now, Adam Smith is from the 1700s. Does anyone know who Adam Smith is? Yeah, we got a couple here. We got some teachers, basically. If you're in grade 7 social studies, you'd really know Adam Smith because he was known as one of the fathers of industrialization. He wrote a book called The Wealth of Nations, which helped spur the Industrial Revolution. And this book, the very first chapter and throughout the book, it talks about something called specialization, or it's called division of labor. Now, those are fancy words for basically just you doing one specific task instead of doing an entire job. That for him, he talked about a factory and making pins. So one person would do a very specific part of making a pin, pass it off because they'd get really good at that one job. Today, maybe we'll make cars, and you know that one person doesn't make an entire car. They do one specific part, get really good at it, and pass it off to the next person who does that next job. So this helps productivity, and we all know this. today, it seems pretty simple, but back then it changed the way they did business, and it changed the way we still do business today. But I'm going to go 1,700 years prior to what Adam Smith talked about, to what a guy named Paul talked about to a church in Corinth. Now, this church in Corinth, I'm assuming, wasn't doing great. I've heard they're the black sheep church back then because there were so many problems with them. He talked about so many things, and probably a big part of it was people were fighting. They had a bad team mentality going on. But Paul, talking to them, he gives them this advice. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 17 and 27, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. All of you together are Christ's body, and of each of you is a part of it." So I actually cut out a little bit in there, but it keeps on saying the old thing that each person has a specific job to do a specific thing, and don't be jealous of other people's jobs. Just do what you were made to do. Just like an eye can't smell and an ear can't hear, only you are put where you are. So going back, I don't know if Adam Smith was reading this when he came up with his division of labor 1,700 years later that was groundbreaking for them. But this has a lot of the same principles of what he's talking about, of the specialization, the division of labor for a greater goal to be achieved. I don't know how much you guys read your Bibles and whether you believe everything in it or not, but I highly encourage you to read it no matter what. Because it's not just a book about religion. There's so many other things in it. For this, it helps business and it helped change what's going on in business in 1 Corinthians. Or for, it can help in your relationships. It can help in so many different ways. So even if you don't believe everything that we believe in this church, I'd encourage you to start reading your Bible because it will help you in so many areas of your life. But going back to specialization, doing what you're made to do, doing what your body was made for. There's so many different ways that we can do this, and we can get so stretched on time. So I'm going to go into that a little bit and what that might look for you. Because the main way that we talk about this is our skills and our gifts. And yeah, you should. If you have great gifts at something, if you're really well-trained at something, that's a great place to get involved. And there's a passage, a parable in the Bible that Jesus talks about. I'm just going to go into quickly here. And that he talks about a master giving three servants some money. Now, back then, the money was actually called talents, so it actually even makes a lot more sense to us. But these talents, he gave some talents to one guy, some talents to another guy, and some talents to a third guy. The first two guys, they put their money to good use, they doubled it, and the master came back, and he's like, "Great job, you guys can keep it, keep using it." The third one, he got to him, and the guy was scared to lose it, so he buried it. And the master took that away from him, gave it somebody else. The same is true with our gifts. As we work on them, as we develop them, they're going to get better and better and better, and chances are you're going to get more opportunities to use it. So get stronger and stronger and stronger at these gifts, like we're talking about encouraging, building in our gifts, and do what you're made to do. So your skills and your talents is one thing, but there's some other ways that you can know what to do or what to get involved. The first thing, or the next thing, is your emotions. Often God will give us emotions for where we're supposed to get involved. Now I'll explain this a little bit more. One emotion might be annoyance. You might come into this church or somewhere else and something really bugs you. And you're like, why do they do that every week? Or why does this happen all the time? Or why is this going on in our community? Maybe you are supposed to meant to do something about it. Or maybe you might not have an annoyance. Maybe you have a passion for something. You really care about something. You're really excited about something. And that's what God's telling you to get involved in. Because when those tough times come and when you get a hard blow or maybe you make a mistake, passion will help you moving forward. Another emotion you might have is excitement for something and you see what's going on in a certain area and you're like, man, that's really great that they're doing that. Maybe you can get involved. Or you might be heartbroken by something, by people not having food, or maybe it's something to do with the sex slavery, or maybe it's just a person going through a really tough time and you've been through a similar time and you can help them out. So God actually uses our emotions to say what you were meant to do. And the third thing of what you're made to do is your location. Now, this might not make a lot of sense, but really, you are the only person exactly where you are. You're the only person in your neighborhood, so you might have a neighbor who's going through a tough time who needs encouragement. You're the only person in your specific place in your job that can encourage a person to get better, maybe to help them out. You're the only person in this, maybe in a relationship, or maybe you're the only person wherever you are, whatever people you talk to, you have an opportunity to help those people out. Maybe it's invite them to church. Maybe it's help them get through a difficult time. Maybe it's share Jesus and what he's done in your life with them. So what you're made to do might have something to do with emotions. It might have something to do with your location, and it might have something to do with your gifts and talents. But quite often, it's all three. And again, talking about using them and not letting them go, there's in the body, there's something called atrophy, which basically it's if you don't use a muscle or if you don't use an organ or if you don't nourish it enough, it will die. If you're in an opportunity to encourage somebody, if you have an opportunity to help somebody through a difficult time and it's just really tough to get to that spot and you're like, I'm just going to push it off a little bit, chances are it gets harder and harder and harder. It's like cleaning the gutters or these things that just build up over time, and it's just going to be tougher and tougher rather than do what you're made to do right now. So yeah, there's so many different things that this could include, but I'm going to do a little bit of a game here. That's what you get when you invite the youth pastor to thing. Last time I brought hammers, today I brought balloons. Nancy, do you want to give me a hand? In just a second. So I have these balloons. What I'm going to do is we're going to play a game all together. Oh, don't hit the mic. I'm going to throw these in the air. Your guys' job as a team is to keep them in the air. If a balloon touches the ground, it's dead. You can't use it anymore. Okay? Nobody can pick it up. Hits the ground, just leave it there. There's some bigger balloons. There's some smaller balloons. Yes? No, you do not have to stay in your seats. What's going to happen, though, is I'm going to start saying months, and if you were born in that month, you're not allowed to help anymore. Okay? So right now, you might be hoping you were born in December because you get to play the longest. All right, everybody understand the rules? Any questions? Pretty simple. Don't let the balloons touch the ground. All right, you can start hitting them out there. I'll help you out. You can pass them back so the people in the back can help. Oh, that one's on the ground. Here, I'll let you guys play too. Oh, I think I have one more. Oh, here's a tough one. Someone get ready. Okay, if you were born in January, we don't need you anymore. You're not allowed to help at all. If you were born in February or March, you know what? You're special. Just sit down. If you were born in April or May, I think you forgot to put on deodorant this morning, so we don't want you putting your hands up anymore. So you're not allowed to help. June and July, you've been working hard. Just take a break. All right? August and September, you got a lot going on right now in different areas. This balloon's tough. So August, September, you're done. Okay, we got one left. What am I on? October. October, you don't feel like it anymore. You're done. November, you are tired. If you're in November, you're tired. Oh! All right. December 1st to 15th, the other person's better than you. There it is. Take a seat. OK. Okay. Now just please don't pop those throughout the rest of my message. It'll be really distracting. Okay, as you can see, when everybody's involved and they have their special locations, and even some people were using a lot more energy than others because you just, maybe you didn't want to or maybe you didn't care as much, but that's, again, the gifts that we have are all in our location, and it helps a lot more when people stuck, I mean, where they were, and then they could all work together. But there's these things that come that tell us not to anymore. And maybe they're good reasons. Like maybe there's a crisis going on in your life or there's a really difficult situation that you need to take a step back. And that's okay. Because when January sat out, we still could probably handle all these balloons. But when we have more and more sit out, we need January to get back involved. Because other people are going to be going through these tough times. Other people are going to go through these difficult situations as well. So just like this, we need to do what we're made to do, whatever it is, with our special specializations, with our special skills, with our special location, with our special emotions. You can make a difference in the world by doing what you're made to do, but you have to get involved or else you're going to, again, atrophy and start to die. So we talked about productivity, and what our goal as a church is might seem weird to you. Well, we all should have certain goals. Hopefully at your job, you guys know what your goal is. Maybe it's to make a great cup of coffee or to just make customer service really great. And I don't know what all your jobs are, but hopefully you have some goals in there so that you know what everybody's working towards. Maybe in your friends, it might just be to hang out and relax. And maybe in your relationship, you want to build closer together. I don't know what all some goals are, but we as a church also have a main vision that all these values connect to. And that vision is to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. Because God has changed our lives, we want to show other people that same love, that same gift that he's given us to them. There's a verse that's, we love because God first loved us. And that's really what we're trying to do as a church, is to love others because he first loved us. This is something that's difficult at times, something that might take extra time, something that might not always be easy with certain people that need some extra love, but they're really hard to love. But it's important, because only you were made to do what you're made to do. Some of you might be like, okay, I'm inspired, but Bobby, you have no idea how busy my life is. You have no idea what's going on. Whatever. This might be for the guy next to me, because I know he plays video games for 6 hours a day or something like that. But you're like, I'm so busy. And for some of us, it might just be saying no to something. It might be saying no to something simple that's watching the 8th episode of a TV show in a row. Or maybe it's saying no to something that is a little bit comfortable. Because to make a difference, we need to step out our comfort zone. But for other of us, it might be saying no to good things. But things that you weren't made to do. This might be saying no to the extra work and trusting God will still bring in clients. He'll still allow the jobs to be done in time. It might be saying no to even a relationship that keeps destroying you and it's just not helping anymore. And sometimes you need to persevere through those to show love, but sometimes we do need to say no because we all only have 24 hours a day. There's something in my life that I try never to say I don't have the time to do it because we all have the same amount of time. What really is happening is I didn't make time to do it. So you have to set your priorities. Mike talking in the video, he is a super busy guy. He works lots of hours, and he has 3 kids. So usually at that point in our lives, you're pretty busy. But he made a choice to say yes to this and probably to say no to some relaxing time or probably say no to even some other good things because he found out that building in a community group was a great way and a great thing for him to do to build him up, to build others up, and to do a great thing. So sometimes we have to say no to good things to do what we're made to do. This thing might be scary for you guys, though. is you might be like, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this, whether it's, I don't know, music or your gift or something you're emotional about or some person that's in your life. But you might be scared. You might be thinking, that's way over my head. I can't do it. I'm going to ask, anybody who's ever been a parent in your life, hands up. Parents in your life, hands up. All right. I want everybody, keep them up. Any of you who never felt overwhelmed, never, like, over your head, put your hand down. Again, if you want people to hate you, put your hand down. Okay, you can put your hands down. Also, for you parents out there, raising your kids is probably one of the greatest things you've ever done. It's the same thing in life. If we read stories in the Bible about these amazing characters, so many of them felt overwhelmed and achieved great things because of it. There's Moses, who had a speech impediment, and he was supposed to lead the Israelites out of slavery and had to go up to the most powerful man in the world at the time. He was overwhelmed, and he did it. There's David, who at one point in his life, he lost all his friends, he lost his job, he lost his mentor, and he's hanging out in a cave by himself going, I have no idea what to do. He becomes one of the greatest kings in history. There's Solomon, who when he first becomes king, he is so not sure what to do, he's overwhelmed that he's like, God, I need wisdom or else I'm not going to be a good king. There's people like Gideon, who just this guy hanging out being scared. The entire story, you see that he's fearful. If you read it again, you'll see so much fear in him, and he goes, and with only 300 soldiers, he destroys an entire huge army. These people are overwhelmed. They're over their head, but they're doing what they were made to do. And they achieved great things. You're not going to achieve great things in this life if you stay in your comfort zone. You're not going to achieve great things for God, for your family, for your job, for your community if you stay in safety. Some of that might be acting in a step of faith. Trusting that God will help with whatever he needs to help with. Let man deal with the possible and let God deal with the impossible. I'd like to look at the very first church. And this church, Jesus just went up to heaven. These 12 disciples were not super bright guys so far, and that's kind of what you see throughout the scriptures, that the guys that were hanging out with Jesus didn't pick the cream of the crop. He picked regular people. So if you're like, I can't do anything because I'm not whatever, that expert at this, you should read about the disciples and just look at how many times they screw up and the dumb things they say. And they're sitting there, but they start leading a church. And when they read the church, I want you to listen to this and hear about the specialization, the division of labor, everybody pitching in, and how it results. So in Acts 2, 42 to 47, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. This to me is just a great picture of everybody pitching in, getting involved. Like, it doesn't talk about all the little things that are happening, but there's food being prepared, there's people going and giving money to other people, there's those selling their homes, and this is, I'm not saying that all you need is sell your homes, because that might not be what God made you to do. But only you are where you are. Right now in this church, but this week at your job, at home with your spouse or your friends or wherever you are. If you're part of our church, I really hope you catch the vision of to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. Because when we get that, it changes our lives. And if we really get that, it'll change other people's lives too, because we are showing his love. Now, I talk about this God's love, and some of you might really understand that and just get a grip of it and be like, yeah, that's great. But some of you might be struggling with that. Some of you might, even with the concept of God, and you might have come here for, I don't know what reasons everybody came here for, but we at the church believe in an almighty God, and we sung about those earlier, about how great he is and his love for us, and that's who God is. And even before he created the universe, he was that way. But he did create the universe. And in the universe, he created one prized possession: mankind. He created mankind to have a relationship with him. But for that relationship to happen, he gave them free will. Because a relationship without free will is servanthood. It's slavery. So he wanted that relationship. So he gave us free will. Unfortunately, man chose not to follow God's ways and not to build that relationship with him. Man chose to build himself and to go after himself and put himself above God. And because God is holy and because God is righteous, because we become unholy when we don't follow his way and he is holy, we cannot be in relationship with him. And as you read through the Bible, there's pages and pages and pages after God going after the people, God trying to build a relationship with people, God trying to get people to come back to him, and time again, they fail. And what we learn is that we cannot earn our way back to righteousness. We cannot earn our way back to holiness. And if the story ended there, it'd be pretty sad. But God came as Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life, and paid the penalties for our sins so that we could be made righteous. And the only way he could pay those penalties was through death on a cross, through shame, through scorn, through going through these things that he did not deserve, we did. But so that he could build that relationship back to us. All he asked us to do is, because we found out it's not about works and we can't work it back into being good enough. It is about admitting that we're not good enough, and that's easy for me because I see it every day. Believe that his sins forgive ours, that his death forgives our sins, and commit to follow him. I don't know if any of you guys have made that decision before. Maybe your heart's pounding right now and you're not sure. And I just want to really encourage you. We're going to have communion later. And that is a whole act of believing in God. And if that's your first time and you want to make that decision, I'd like you to talk to Barry. Is that all right? Does that say that? Because it's such a huge deal. And that's why we do what we're made to do. Because God made us to show his love to others. And the only way we can do that is through the sacrifice of Jesus. He made us to be images of God. We screwed it up and he paid the price so we could do it again. That's what knowing and making known the unsurpassable love of Christ is. So if we as a church want to do that, if we as a church body of Christ, each in our own way, you have to do that in your neighborhood. You have to do that at your job. You have to do that with the person you walk by in the street, even if it's just a smile. I don't know where you guys all are. I don't know what is going through your head right now. But God has made you for a purpose. And there is nothing in this world that you can do without following that purpose that's going to be greater. You can make all the money. You can do all the power. But in the end, the greatest significance you'll ever have is to do what you were made to do. We have some areas in our church that I wanted to just give you guys an opportunity if you're feeling like something in this church is where you need to get more involved in. And we're going to actually break up now, but because we have communion, we're not going to do that. But I'm going to introduce some of the leaders so that you guys can talk to them maybe during coffee later, and say, I want to get more involved in this, or I want to see what you're doing to see if I can get involved. Or maybe you just want to care so you can pray for that group. So Nancy's going to be my representative. Stand up. You have to stand up and turn around so everyone knows her. She is going to be my representative for children's ministries in the church. They do some awesome things out there. To hear more about children's ministry, if you care about kids, I'd encourage you to talk to her. Barry, he's going to stand up. He's going to be my representative for the Sunday service stuff. So that is so many different things. That's greeting at the door. That's making coffee. That's getting prepped here. That's even cleaning during the week. And we're hoping actually to start getting parking lot attendants out there so that we can introduce or give people a smile when they're coming in and help people park. So if you feel like that might be something or there's something that bugs you about our church in one of those ways, come talk to Barry because he wants to hear it and tell you that you're going to do it. So Barry can take a seat. We have Mark. He's in charge of our music ministry at the church. So that's all the people up there, the people back there, all those things. You can talk to him. And good job. Then we have Jane. Jane is the person in charge of the Young at Heart, the 55-plus group that they're doing some great things. And Norm, he's in charge of our facility maintenance, that kind of thing. So if you want to get involved in building something or just help build stuff, there's stuff going on that is great and you have just talents in woodwork or whatever it is, talk to Norm because there's so many things that we want to do and not have enough time to do it. So, yeah, guys, this week. What? Oh, and youth. Yeah. Thanks. I was looking out there, and I was like, okay, I got everybody. There's no mirror. Youth, I'm the youth pastor here, if you didn't know that. If you want to get involved in youth, there's some crazy cool things happening. The youth are inviting their friends. They're just learning about Jesus, and they're bringing Jesus to their schools. And the schools now are tough places, and they're tough places to be a Christian, just like our jobs are, and just like other things. And I'd really encourage you to come talk to me about youth, if that's kind of where God might be pulling you. Matthew, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but it says the fields are ripe for the harvest. It says Jesus says ask for workers to go into the fields to show God's love. And then right after that, Jesus tells his disciples, okay, now you go. Right after you ask for it, you go and do what you were made to do.